So the scripture this morning, the scripture we have before us today, is about the authority of Jesus. The authority of Jesus is displayed through the experiences of the demon-possessed and the sick in need of miraculous healing. It would be easy for us this morning to get bogged down asking ourselves if demon possession is real or if miracles are still being performed. All I want to say about that is yes. But today, we want to look at what Luke is focusing on. And Luke is not focusing on the everyday occurrence of his time of people being possessed by an evil spirit or people having fevers that they had no idea how to cure or illnesses of various kinds before modern day medicine. We want to look today at what Jesus does and says. Remember a couple weeks ago I was saying that from chapter 4 through 9, the big question is, who is Jesus? Who is this man that travels the countryside of Galilee, going in and out of synagogues? Who is He? Inherent or permanently included in our understanding of Jesus as Lord is His authority, His power or right to give orders, to make decisions, and to enforce obedience. If we declare that Jesus is Lord, we are saying, Jesus, you have the right to give orders. You have the right to make decisions. You have the right to enforce obedience. What, though, are the limits to that authority? Are there places where we can say, Jesus doesn't have authority here. Or, I have authority here. Or, someone else has authority here. Are there limits to Jesus' right or power to give orders, make decisions, and enforce obedience? And that's what Luke is describing in this passage. Yes, it deals with demon possession. Yes, it deals with miracles. But the point is Jesus' authority. And the first thing we see, sort of as an introduction, this passage, verses 31 to 44, has sort of an introduction and it has sort of a conclusion. And then there are a couple of examples in the middle. He goes into the synagogue and he's teaching. Ends with him in a solitary place. The crowd finds him and they bring to him people who are demon possessed and physically ill. And how does he respond? Well, from the introduction, what we understand is that Jesus' authority is ingrained in his teaching. You cannot separate Jesus' authority from his teaching, and let me tell you why. Let me read verses 31 and 32. Then he went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and on the Sabbath began to teach the people. And they were amazed at his teaching because his message had authority. The people were amazed at how Jesus spoke. And the reason why they were amazed is because rabbinical teaching of the time was based on precedent. Sort of like going before the Supreme Court. If you go before the Supreme Court, I am told, I have never gone before the Supreme Court, but if you go before the Supreme Court, you do not say, this is my opinion. This is how I read the law. What you do is you bring case studies. This is what was decided was true before. And this is why it has bearing on the case today. And when there was a conflict of case studies, there was a discussion. But by and large, everything is based on precedent. And that's the way the rabbinical teaching was. There were schools of teaching. And they would say, so-and-so interpreted the scriptures this way. So-and-so understands God this way. And people would say, oh, that's wonderful. Now we know. When there was a conflict, there would be a discussion. But there was a hierarchy. Well, if this school says it, then it probably carries more weight. If this school says it, then there's probably less weight to it. And that's how they taught. They didn't teach the scriptures so much as they taught what other people taught about what other people taught about what other people taught about God. But Jesus does not teach that way. Jesus does not quote the great scholars when he talks about God and godliness. Jesus does not primarily quote scripture. Of all his teachings, it is very rare that he quotes the scriptures. You would think that Jesus quoted the scriptures a lot, but he actually did not in his teachings. He taught by parable. He taught by inference. Or he taught out of truth. Jesus taught with authority. You have heard it said before, but now I say to you, not I'm going to agree or disagree with someone else, but I am going to speak truth with authority. Jesus declared God's truth directly. And it was, as the scriptures say, amazing or astounding. The teachings of Jesus ought to astound us. Not because they're new or novel. Because what Jesus teaches is within the scriptures. He does not create new law. He does not create new scripture. They are not new or novel. But they are profound. The way he describes God, the way he describes God's kingdom, was not new, it was just profound. It's not based on tradition. This is what we've always taught. But it was on power, based on power. The power to transform hearts and minds. Jesus' authority extends to the word and to the will of God as expressed in scripture. And his words are the lenses through which we understand the truth. So when Jesus says what Jesus says, we ought to have our ears perk up. We ought to be saying, what is Jesus saying here? And when we read other scripture, we ought to do it in light of what Jesus said. not dismissing the Old Testament, but saying that the Old Testament has a purpose and now has been fulfilled in Christ, for example. Jesus' authority is ingrained in his teaching. The second thing, Jesus' authority is ingrained in his engagement with the spiritual. Verses 33-37. A man is in the synagogue. He's among the gathered. And he has an evil spirit. Now we don't know why he was there. We don't know specifically if someone brought him, if someone was aware and said, we need to bring him to the synagogue. Maybe no one but Jesus was aware until Jesus said something. All we know is this. There is a man with a demon possession. And Luke over describes his oppressor. Literally, what Luke writes is a spirit of an unclean demon. The NIV translates it as a demon, an unclean or evil spirit. This is not saying that some demons are clean and some demons are not. Some evil, there's good demons and bad demons. That's not what it's saying. He is using hyperbole. It is an exaggeration for effect. This guy was bad. This thing, not guy, this thing was bad. And it was within the synagogue. And Luke characterizes the demon as immediately nervous. What are you going to do to us? Why are you here? Are you here to destroy us? I know what you are able to do, because you're the Holy One. Later on in the summation of this paragraph, this pericope, this story, this account, the demons that come out of people when Jesus is in the solitary place know who he is. You are the Christ. They knew who he was. And because of Jesus' presence, they were nervous. And Jesus rebukes the oppressor. Three times in this passage, the word rebuke is used. The NIV says he spoke sternly. He rebuked him. What a rebuke is to speak sternly with proper disapproval of what is said or done. It is righteous confrontation of wrong. Stern. Not necessarily angry, but stern. Steadfast. You don't belong here. You have no part here. You need to stop. And so Jesus speaks. Jesus knows that what is happening is not right. And he tells the demon to be silent. Shut your mouth. It is not proper for you to claim my name. It is not right for you to solicit my favor. Nothing about this is correct. Nothing about this is good. So just shut up. And the demon comes out of the man immediately. It can do nothing but comply. And yes, it throws the man down to the ground, but even in that, Luke accounts that this final act of rebellion is harmless in the presence of Christ. Jesus is able to see, to speak, to seize, and to stop spiritual oppression. It's as simple as that. The spiritual engagement of Jesus ought to amaze us. When Matthew 28:18 records that Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me," he meant it. There is no one and there is nothing in all creation that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Jesus' authority extends to the spiritual realm, the domain of angels and demons. In his presence is the power through which we overcome the evil one in our lives. We cannot. This demon was in the camp, and there was no one that was in that synagogue that could have done anything about it. And once they see, what do they say? They were amazed and said to each other, "What is this teaching? What is this word that he speaks? It is with authority and power that he gives orders to evil spirits and they come out." He has authority over the spiritual. Lastly, Jesus' authority is ingrained in the engagement, in his engagement with the physical. Simon Peter's mother-in-law was stricken with a great fever, which at the time was an unknown and dangerous threat. People would die of fever. People still die of fever, but we have NSAIDs and anti-inflammatories and antipyretics, which is the Greek word for fever, pyretic. And so we can take Tylenol, we can take aspirin, many of us. But Peter's mother-in-law was suffering. And so as Jesus enters the house, they say, "Can you do anything to help her?" "Probably not. You're not a doctor." But he bends over her and he rebukes the fever. He speaks sternly, not to her, not to them, but to the fever. To what we would say is an inanimate, unresponsive thing. But he speaks to the fever, and immediately the fever comes out of her. Just like the demon possession. Speaks sternly, speaks rebukingly, says, "This isn't right. Get out." And it does. And then what we might think is a very sexist statement, says she got up at once and began to wait on them. Woman's place is in the kitchen, we may be thinking, but that's not what is being said here. What it's saying is that her healing was complete. It wasn't as if, "Oh, you know what, I'm starting to feel better." No, she is 100% better. She is fever-free. Feeling top of her game. And she says, I'm going to go back and do what I was doing. The other thing that it says, and this is maybe more significant, is that it uses the word service, the word diakonos, the word for ministry. She ministers to them. One of the things that we notice in this passage is that when we are blessed by God, it gives us the ability to act in gratitude. And physical engagement of Jesus, when Jesus does something in our physical lives, it ought to activate us. Because earthly blessings are given to be shared. And we serve others out of the strength that we are given by God. Ultimately, Jesus' authority extends to the physical realm, the domain of all we sense, all we see, all we touch, all we smell, all we taste, and all we hear. His ministry and His ministry through us is the means through which we are all made whole. Our sermon in a sentence is this. Perhaps it's you've already understood what it is. Jesus has authority over every area of life. It's as simple as that. Jesus is Lord over every aspect of our existence. Our intellectual lives, our spiritual lives, and our physical lives. He is Lord over our minds, our bodies, our souls. And when the Bible tells us about the things that we are to love the Lord with all your mind, soul, strength. Love your Lord with your intellect, where Jesus is in authority. With your soul, where Jesus is in authority. With your strength, your body, where Jesus is in authority. And then what we have seen Him do, we are to do likewise. There is nothing in heaven or on earth from which that the name of Jesus is not able to deliver us. And we are compelled to go into those places of bondage and compassionately serve in His name. He has called us to bring His word to bear in those circumstances, reminding others of what Jesus said. In Capernaum, Jesus demonstrated His lordship, His authority over all things. That He has the power and the right to give orders, to make decisions, and to demand obedience. He is able. No matter what befalls us, He is able to overcome ignorance, evil, and illness. So, in response to all this, I think Luke is telling us to come to Him and trust Him. Trust Him with your ignorance. Trust Him with the evil that envelops us. Trust Him with the illnesses that beset us. Because Jesus has authority over every area of life. Shall we pray?